Yeah, I just assumed that wasn't on tape anyway.
Okay.
About Harold, because he's a wonderful guy. But
no, that wasn't. But I'm just running the tape now. We're finishing up an interview with Barbara Bloom. It is still December 16th, 2005. And go ahead now. You were going to tell me.
What?
You were going to tell me one.
Oh, the swimming pool.
Right.
And the fire. Fires.
Okay.
The swimming pool, when my husband was a boy, was nothing but a bunch of rocks around the spring, the natural warm springs that comes up there, and they paid 5 cents to go swimming in it.
Who did they pay?
Whoever owned it at the time, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know that he remembers that.
Uh-huh.
Borkrans owned it when we were conscious of it and when we came here.
So that was a public swimming pool then, or
privately? Yes. It's always been private. It's still privately owned.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. He used to tell about going up there and paying a nickel to swim.
Now, is that pool still around?
Oh, yes. Of course, it's not. There's no rocks there. It's a regular swimming pool.
Right.
And when it was priced like it should have been, it was a very popular one. People came from all over to go there. Then it got so it was outpriced itself. That's another story.
Yeah.
And then the fires, it was all done with the local people. And my husband, because of us owning the store across the street from the firehouse, he was kind of responsible for if the fire alarm went during the day and the men were all gone or something, or out on the ranches, he had to run over and blow the whistle, and they called the store to report the fire. And he'd run over and blow the whistle, and if I was available, then he and whoever came would come to the fire. And they just took whoever would be, show up.
So that was truly a volunteer fire.
Oh, yes, then. Yes.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he got a retirement from it, sheet of paper that was thanking him for it. But my boys used to help as soon as they were teenagers. When the whistle would go off, of course, it woke up the mom first, men's sleep sounder, and I would run around helping them all get ready to go to the fire.
So that was really a community effort then.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and it was a very family-oriented. In fact, they had a thing on it down at the History Center, and I, after I heard everybody talking, I volunteered, and I said, don't forget the women, because they were telling about the men, and I said, you know, the women are the ones that were saw that they had their boots and their clothes and knew where everything was in the middle of the night, and it was very important that the women were acknowledged, you know. We didn't do much, but if we hadn't woke them up, they'd have slept through the alarm.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's
about
it. Did
they have equipment, or were they organized anyway?
It was it was organized. A certain amount of people were responsible.
Did they have to go and train?
You know, I think they must have had some, yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they did. But like I said, I was a pretty busy woman.
Right.
So a lot of things just kind of went in and out of my part of life, and I didn't pay attention to.
Now, I've heard people talk about, there's an elder down here in LeGrand that I talked to who was big on roller skating when he was young.
Yes.
And I heard that the...
my
the
kids went roller...
was the
yes.
place to go.
My children roller skated up there. That would be Sherry and Tom and Whitey. Ann and Rick, I don't think it was open still when they did, because they had to redo the floors constantly because those old roller skates were hard on the floors. So they had to redo the gym floors after roller skating season. And, of course, the more things they got in LeGrand and the more modern it got, the less people used it, and it just kind of faded away. Yeah. There used to be a dance hall, too, here down here. That was in the... long before me, it burnt down when my husband was still at home.
Do they have a festival of any sort there in Cove?
The Cherry Festival.
The Cherry
Fair. Oh, yeah. The Cherry Fair. in the summer. Arlene Goodson or Betty Puckett could tell you more about that.
Did you have any involvement in that?
No. My daughter Sherry was involved in something there once or twice, but I've never even gone to it. I was always too busy doing so that everybody else could go,
Yeah.
I mean, it's like football and basketball. Basketball, I got a little more involved, but football, I had to work in the store so my husband could go watch the kids play football. So those other things I didn't get a chance to be involved in.
Were there any other opportunities for you to be involved with your children, school activities then?
Well, 4-H, like I said, I did always did 4-H and always took the kids places and didn't mind chaperoning at things, but mostly I couldn't because there was a 10-year gap from my first child to my next child, who was Ann. Sherry's 10 years older than Ann. So then I had little ones and couldn't do a lot of things when my others were big enough to need me to do things. So, and with the store and the bookkeeping, and I made a lot of their clothes and did a lot of things. I mean, I shortened and lengthened and did all kinds of things to help that way. So,
were the older children involved in taking care of Rick and Ann?
No, not really. Sherry maybe a little bit, but then Sherry actually went to high school in LeGrand and lived with my mother for a few years. So, yeah, they were, just like most kids. If there's kids in the family, they kind of,
Now, did your mother follow you to this area?
Yes, she did. I called them, and they lived in California. And I called them and asked them, told them that I needed some help some way. And my stepfather wanted to move anyway. He was a mover. He liked to go to new places. And so he was ready. So they just sold out down there and moved up here and bought a home in Cove and helped in the store.
Now, what were their names?
Rogers. Dick Rogers. He played polo a little bit out here at the polo field, a little bit in his old age when they started playing. He went out.
And what was your mother's name?
Leela Rogers.
And did they live out their lives here?
Yeah, they both died in LeGrand.
So they were already retired then before they came up?
No. He had a meat business, or he was a meat cutter. Butcher, I think people call him, but he didn't like being a butcher. He was a meat cutter. He didn't kill the animal, didn't butcher it.
Right.
He was a meat cutter.
In LeGrand.
Eventually, yeah. But in California, and then in our store, he was just in the store. And then they moved to two or three times later, and he went to, not Prineville, but that area, down in that area. He moved there and had a shop, and then he worked, I think, at Hyde's out here in Island City for a while. And he just liked working, and he liked that, so he was always needed because he was good at what he did. So, yeah,